language work within the context of the Portland Zoning Code and the definitions that are within it. The specific mention of pipelines, I don't think, is one of those. And Phil, do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, one of the things that in Metro's code, they provided some specific examples that I think Judge Jones gave you about the redundant power and so on. A lot of that had to do with the fact that Metro is trying to talk about situations region-wide, certain areas out in Washington County that have certain special features that aren't available in the city of Portland. What we were originally were looking at was trying to figure out what in the city of Portland would kind of qualify under what Metro would think were these special features, and we came up with sort of the industrial pipelines and another term that I think we've finessed a little bit, which is multimodal freight facilities, not necessarily transportation. When we talked to BDS, actually during a lot of the hashing out of this between the proposed draft and the recommended draft, BDS was concerned that it'd be difficult to determine what isn't, you know, location and what should be classified as an industrial pipeline, because there isn't anything that speaks to what that is. And we actually talked with our economic folks in the Bureau of Planning, and they felt that the term using the term industrial pipeline might not gain much. So, I mean, we are willing, if the council wishes, to remove the reference to industrial pipelines on the approval criteria.
The rationale for it being there was that we don't want to change the zoning necessarily of industrial land if it's adjacent to important infrastructure that serves industrial land. In other words, you don't want to waste that infrastructure by allocating that land to something else. So that was the rationale for including the words pipeline in there, because that's an example of significant infrastructure that's kind of unique to Portland, that Hillsborough may not have the tank farm issue, and we do. So that's why our language is different from Metro's. But as Phil said, our own staff is willing to let that language go if necessary. The underlying intent of the language is still there, that we look at the infrastructure. And so the pipeline issue could still come up, just applying it anyway.
And outside of the river area, the main feature that Portland has is the multimodal freight facilities, you know, the rail and truck access. So that we would keep in.
And given I could end up in front of Judge Jones at any time, I'd support removing it if it doesn't make any difference. I would use that as part of my defense.
We can have a presentation now on the next piece and then testimony. This goes over.
Yes. That's a good point. Is there any other questions to ask a staff before we get to the next one? Are you going to then do a presentation on the next element?
We'll do a very quick walkthrough of the next one.
Did we want to conclude with the discussion on that if we want anything changed before second reading? How would we communicate?
Yeah, I think we're looking for direction so we can move to second reading on the first item.
I guess what I heard was there was an objection raised by having the pipeline spoke to in the regulation because it felt as though it was directed to Linton. What I heard staff say is it's not necessary. And so if that's the case, I'm fine with building.
I'm fine, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Judge Jones also wanted this thing referred back. My sense is that there is not a sense of the council to do that, so I think we amend the language so that it's not more restrictive than Metro's language and then come back for a second reading.
Please proceed to 1719.
Did you want to do the amendment?
Do we actually have to move it?
Yeah, that was my question, is do we have to have a motion?
You have a set of two amendments that came from staff at the beginning. They proposed that need to be moved as well. So one was to delete the Title 17, and I don't know if they're all in one package, but there were also the amendments to 33.810, and there were two specific amendments there on separate pages.
Can we do that as a package, or you want us to do them separately?
That would be up to staff. It doesn't.
Yeah,
you can move all three.
I would move, Mayor, all three as a package,
including the pipeline issue, or separate.
That would be separate.
Okay, second.
Okay, call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
And I would move deleting the reference to the pipeline in the section's staff reference.
Second.
Call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Now on to 1719.
I'll let Phil start off with that.
Is that 19 or 18?
Okay, we're going to provide a quick overview of the amendment that is related to the Division Street, Main Street overlay zone. First, I just want to give a little background. 2006, the Division Green Street Main Street plan was adopted. This was to help plan for redevelopment of sites with new mixed-use development, while also attempting to create provisions to help maintain the entrepreneurial spirit that is fostered by smaller businesses along Division. As part of that plan, regulations were added to the zoning code to address development along the street. Including these regulations was a limit to the overall size of retail sales and service uses to 10,000 square feet. Supermarkets were excluded from the limitation as it was felt that neighborhood serving markets would need to be bigger than 10,000 square feet. Since the adoption of the plan, there's events have led to what some feel are unintended consequences. Soon after the adoption of the plan, Wild Oats decided to close their market in 2006 at the old Nature site on 30th and Division. The building, with the exception of its use as a political campaign office, has been vacant for the past couple years. The vacancy can have an effect on the surrounding businesses, and can also create some dead zones on the street, including the surface parking lot along Division that is associated with the Nature's site. The owner of the site, along with several representatives of the neighborhood associations, came before the Planning Commission at a hearing. And at that hearing, they appealed to the Planning Commission to direct staff to review the existing retail size limits as part of a legislative project, and also stressed that the issue was urgent due to the length of time that the building had not been used. Planning Commission agreed with that testimony and directed us to consider bringing a solution back to them as part of the recap for language. The Planning Commission hearing on this, there was considerable testimony both against and in favor of the provision, although much of the testimony was focused on the specific use of the Nature site as a health club. At the conclusion of the testimony, the Planning Commission agreed to go with the option suggested by the neighborhood association in conjunction with the owner of the building. This option would amend the 10,000 square foot limit for retail uses under the following. Basically, the exception would only apply to existing buildings as of the plan adoption. It retains the 10,000 square foot limit on the ground floor and allows greater than 10,000 square feet for a use that occupies floors other than the ground floor, such as a second or third floor or basement level. The amendment does allow greater flexibility for finding tenants in existing buildings and reusing the buildings, which is maintaining the sustainability goal of the original Division vision. It also preserves a pedestrian scale along the street frontages at the ground level. Although there's been a lot of argument about the certain type of use that could go in the Nature's, we do want to point out a couple things that are a consequence of this amendment. Despite probably a lot of the testimony you're going to hear today as well, this amendment does not consider a specific retail use. In the case of this old Nature's site, any retail sales and service use could use a provision, including office supply stores, clothing stores, restaurants, entertainment venues, as well as the gym that was originally proposed. Second, the amendment does provide an opportunity for larger retail use to move into the neighborhood without the current neighborhood oversight. Based upon the testimony we've received so far from the Hosford M&F, the neighborhood, and the Richmond neighborhood, they seem to appear to accept this risk. The last thing I want to kind of bring up is the amendment does have limited applications along Division Street. This is actually due to the overall number of buildings along that street that are over 10,000 square feet. I did a sort of a quick little count and actually came up with 14 buildings that are over 10,000 square feet based upon tax records.
On the second floor?
No, a total.
In total?
Yeah. But bear in mind, a lot of those are probably not necessarily single-use buildings. The change in regulations would only apply to retail sales and service uses. It doesn't affect any other uses in the commercial zones, such as office use and so on. And it also limits how an existing larger retail use could expand, since the ground floor space would have to be limited to 10,000 square feet and larger spaces would have to be on the floors other than the ground floor. So in this case, an example such as the Rite Aid, if it were to expand, would have to basically construct additional floors to move into and then renovate the ground level space so that the Rite Aid was only 10,000 square feet on the level.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm sorry to do that. So the picture that we're looking at for an example right there, when you say there's unlimited space allowed above the ground floor, is it theoretically possible then for a developer to actually create a second floor that goes out over the width of the parking lot as well and use that as retail space? Or are they're not confined to the footprint?
They're not confined to the footprint. They could excavate below the store and go out to the property line with a basement. Yeah.
Right, to be considered reuse of an existing building, though, some portion of that existing building would still have to be there.
Right, but if you had, for instance, a second story that included parking, for example, you could actually make a second story parking structure beyond, you're not limited.
Right. Yeah. There's a point with how much of the walls and so on be kept here. When would this building become an addition if you're doing it? When would it end up being a new building?
There is an overall ceiling, too, just because there's floor area ratios in the zoning code that set an absolute maximum.
And how about a height? What's the height limit?
Most of the places in Division, I think, for commercial only is usually around 45 feet.
And that's four stories?
It could be 3 to 4 stories.
So, for instance, at the new... not the New Seasons, but the Wild Oats site that's the topic of the discussion, theoretically another floor could be added on top of the existing floor?
Correct. I mean, a lot of that starts getting into can the building support it?
You know, there's no, I understand all that. Yeah. I'm just talking about the code itself.
Theoretically, from a code standpoint, the Wild Oats could have then a third floor placed on it because it was an existing building. Once again, not a whole lot of buildings that have one main shell like the Nature's, Wild Oats, or the Rite Aid.
Right.
New Seasons is probably another potential site. And just to kind of finish this slide a little bit, the one thing I just wanted to bring up is likely a lot of the buildings that are over 10,000 square feet would probably not be switched because they are already non-retail buildings, such as medical offices, condo buildings, and so on, and the cost to convert that into a retail use with retail on the second and third floor would probably be prohibitive. And most of those 14 buildings that I found that were over the 10,000 square feet were generally either residential, mixed use, and or medical offices. So finishing that up, the... on this case, once again, the Planning Commission is asking Council to adopt the recommended draft for the Division Street piece specifically, which I think is pages 96 and 97, amend the zoning code and adopt the special Division Street ordinance. And then in addition, you may direct us to monitor the results if necessary. And that concludes our Division Street presentation.
So I just want to ask you a couple follow-up questions. My understanding is that there isn't a written agreement between the property owner and any athletic facility to move into the site. So what I understood you to emphasize was that the change, were we to make it, does not limit the ability of the property owner to lease it to just an athletic facility. So I heard that right.
Correct.
And then you mentioned categories of potential businesses, but you said an entertainment facility. So like a bar, would that be allowed?
Retail sales and service is a pretty big category.
Give us examples.
It could include restaurants, bars, bowling alleys, a nightclub, as far as like an entertainment type venue. It can also include all manner of stores, clothing stores, bookstores, auto parts stores.
And so if we pass this as a matter of right, anybody that falls into one of those categories can move into the store with no mechanism by which the neighborhood could raise an objection.
Correct.
If they keep under the code as it's being presented and any other standards that are currently on there.
The main constraint on who could move in would be more of the building code and other code kind of constraints.
Understood, but in terms of zoning and in terms of what we would allow, there is no mechanism by which the neighborhood could interject itself.
Correct. There, I mean, currently, any retail use that's over 10,000 square feet would have to go through the adjustment process with BDS to get approval.
Currently.
And that this would basically create another exception. Currently, a supermarket doesn't have to go through that process. This would create another exception if the floor that was going to be used was on floors other than the ground floor, and only in the situations of these buildings that existed at the time of the division plan being implemented.
To be clear, the retail spaces under 10,000 also don't have any kind of restriction on exactly what use.
Understood. So do we have a definition of what a big box is, or is that a name we just ascribe to places like Walmart and Home Depot that we just call them big boxes? There's no, like, minimum number of square feet?
No, because in every sort of retail designation, you have different size requirements. A Circuit City or a Best Buy, which some people consider a big box, may get by with one size limit, while a Office Depot may need a different size limit. And then, of course, as something that's more of a full-service Target, Walmart, of course, requires other size. But we don't have anything in the code that talks about big box or large format retail.
Theoretically, if we agree to this change, we would allow if you thought in terms of the height limit of potentially a four-story building with the restriction being 10,000 square feet on the ground floor and unlimited numbers of square feet on floors above that.
That's a height of
45 feet.
It's technically correct. I mean, there aren't a lot of situations in the region that you could probably find where retail has been successful with a very minor street-level presence and all their store area on other floors.
Except IKEA.
That's still a two-story building, though.
Yeah. Questions? Thank you, folks. How many folks are signed up to testify?
I have 18.
Okay. I have to excuse myself for a 4:30 meeting, but is it the wish of the council to limit testimony? Two minutes?
2 minutes.
Okay. Council, the testimony will be limited in 2 minutes. Please call the first three people.
First three are Roger Weaver, Troy Finfrock, I believe it is, and Frank DeMarco. They'll be followed by Michelle Wong, Alan Field, and Becky Daggett.
Welcome. So if you could just give us your name, and you each have 2 minutes. Start with you.
I have trouble saying my name in 2 minutes. My name is Roger Weaver. I live at 2726 Southeast 21st in Portland. I came to talk in support of the proposed change. I refer to it as item 53 because that's the number it appears in the table. Among the reasons are, it appears as the regulations now stand, an opponent to a proposed use can use the land use regulations as a way to thwart entry of a new competitor. It seems to me that land use regulations aren't intended for that purpose and should be changed to preclude that from happening anymore. Second, this building has stood empty since the closure of Whole Foods. Regulation should be modified to encourage a commercially successful use of the building. As they now stand, the owner may wind up being forced to demolish the existing structure, replace it with one or more smaller ones. This would be a waste of resources needed to do the demolition and replacement, and such an action should be avoided. Land use laws should be changed to avoid that. Along the same line, by using such resources, environmental impacts would be imposed if this action had to be taken, and they should be prevented. Creation of a commercially successful operations in the existing structure would add to the viability and livability and vibrancy of the area, and enhance the commercial success of neighboring businesses such as the eateries across division. This would be especially significant if tenants of the existing building bring in customers from outside the immediate walkable area, like Gold's Gym use of part of the building might do. But I note that adoption of this item 53 would not guarantee the Gold's Gym project. Finally, the last issue was discussed just a minute ago. I believe that 53 would neither encourage nor allow big box or non-family friendly businesses from occupying that structure. I think the council has its abilities to control the uses to which the building would be put.
Thank you. Sir? Who wants to go next?
My name is Troy Finfrock, managing partner with Synergy Fitness and Gold's Gym. We've been in business for 20 years, my father and I as partners. He's subsequently retired. We operate five facilities in Oregon, ranging from as far south as Cottage Grove to far south, as far north as Kaiser. This project we've been working on for a couple of years. We've made a commitment through the business pledge to the community that we've gone through several planning meetings with what type of facility we would offer that would be sensitive to the community. And I think that, you know, it's an underserved market that doesn't have enough facilities for the population, and we feel like we can fit in very well.
Sir, it was mentioned earlier that there's no contract that's been signed yet for the space. What's the likelihood that if we made this, adopted this change, that you would, in fact, go to contract and use the space?
That would be our full intent. We actually did have a signed lease, and that when the objection came, it had to be, you know, taken off the books. But our intent would be to go forward.
And has the intervening economic collapse changed your projections about the viability of a space there?
No. Actually, I think the new project that we're looking at is downsized from the original proposal. So it actually is still viable for us. It's a downsized proposal at this point, being the 10,000 square foot on the bottom level. So it is smaller, and I think is still in keeping with our projections.
Good afternoon, Mr. President and commissioners. thank you for my name is Frank DeMarco. I am a 13-year homeowner and resident of the Richmond Neighborhood Association and a Portland business owner with a business license. I'd like the commission to take note of all the people that are sitting in this room with these tags on in support of the planning staff recommendation. We are facing a long-time derelict building here that used to be part of a thriving center of our neighborhood. What has happened is there's been a, shall we say, a contest of wills between two competing business interests that was referred to LUBA, which threw it back to the city. Now, in the middle of all of that are the neighbors, are the residents of the Richmond neighborhood. Now, with one of the things I want to make sure that commissioners understand is not everyone is here because they're wedded to the idea of a health club or a gym. We're here because we're wedded to the idea of the continuity of the improvement of division, which, as you all know, historically has had a long struggle to get where it is now. And we're doing really well. But what we have here is a classic conflict between two competing interests. I think the most important thing is for council to approve this, let this thing go forward, and I think organically it's all going to happen. There'll be a continuation of the improvement of the Division Street corridor within for something to please everyone. And thanks for letting me be part of the sausage-making process.
Okay, thank you all. Carla. If you read off the next three names.
Next three are Michelle Wong, Alan Field, and Becky Doggett. They'll be followed by Alessandra Silver, Linda Netcoven, and Jean Baker.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes, and just give us your name. And take it away.
My name is Michelle Wong. I've been born and raised here in Portland, and actually I've lived in Southeast Portland all my life, and actually grew up across the street from the Wild Oats building. I have since built and developed a building across the street with a small cafe downstairs. So every day I see what happens across the street, basically nothing other than when the Obama campaigners were there. And they were great. They were amazing. The problems that have happened, graffiti, since the last meeting I've been to, we've been graffitied again. Probably been graffitied about 5 times. We've been open for less than a year and a half. Safety issues. All of my employees are afraid to be there at night by themselves. Getting there in the morning at 6 in the morning, they just get a little nervous. The traffic flow, there's nothing to catch anybody's eyes. The only thing that stops people or slows the traffic down is the pedestrian or the car that are about to hit on that intersection of 30th and Division. We've had drug addicts in our bathroom. There's lack of foot traffic. I actually remember when there was a Smith Home Furnishing store across the street when I lived there. There was actually more foot traffic back there in the early 70s than there is now. What's going to happen if that place doesn't get developed? Well, we'll probably go out of business. My 8 employees won't be unemployed. I'll probably have to rent the space where my beautiful restaurant is, but who's going to rent it? It could be an adult video store. I mean, one of the commissioners is afraid of that, so we could do that. For the zoning is not meant to stop competition. I went into business knowing that a Starbucks could go across the street from us, and I'm not about to stop them. I'm not about to stop any restaurant that's going to go in across the street. That's not what zoning regulation is meant to do.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, what's the name of your business, ma'am?
Cafe Polino.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Field. I'm testifying in favor of the recap for revision to the division code. I'm currently on the Richmond Neighborhood Association board, and I was chair at the time when the board voted to approve the adjustment to allow a gym. And later, the Neighborhood Association voted to support the revision before you today. I've also been a member of Laprinzi's for about 6 to 8 years. I'm currently a member. And even though I'm going to talk about Laprinzi's and you're going to hear Laprinzi's come up, this hearing and the merits of recap for should not be focused on Laprinzi's. It should not focus on whether this causes competition to one business owner. I think a lot of the people you hear today who are going to testify against this are going to be members or supporters of Laprinzi's. And their primary argument is this could allow competition, even though a gym is not guaranteed in that spot. And I just want to touch upon that issue, even though it shouldn't be your focus on whether recap four should go in. As a member of Laprinzi's, and member of many gyms, whether a gym goes in or not, a Gold's goes in, will not be the cause of ruin for Laprinzi's. Laprinzi's attracts the entirely different facet of the market. People like me who don't like these contract corporate gyms don't go there, they go to Laprinzi's. There's already enough alternative that's where those people are going. Laprinzi's is no doubt historically a special place. They have a unique ability to brand themselves apart from the competition, an ability that no other gym in town has, and they could really capitalize on that with all the new construction going in on Division and Belmont of new apartments. And if a new Gold's goes in, I'm not going to stop using Laprinzi's, and neither will other people testifying here in favor of Laprinzi's. With America's growing waistline, we need more gyms, we need more incentives for people to work out, we need more than one gym in inner Southeast, so my neighbors don't have to go out to 205 or Hollywood to go use a gym. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Becky Doggett. I own the Detour Cafe along with my husband, which is directly across the street. Our front doors face the front doors of the Wild Oats building. I want to thank you for hearing us today. We've had a front row seat for this entire thing, and we're very in touch with the neighborhood. Many of our regulars are neighborhood residents who walk to our place. We know their names. And I want to say that my anecdotal experience is that the sense of the neighborhood is very strong. The neighborhood wants you guys to pass recap. They want the gym. They want that block to be developed. I haven't had, since this whole thing started, not one single customer has said to me that they don't want that gym. And I know that it's super important to think about possible consequences of making changes to zoning law. I don't want a Home Depot across the street from us. But the actual consequence of what's been going on for the last 2 years is that no fewer than 6 businesses have moved away or gone out of business from that one block outside of the Wild Oats building. And that's the reality, what it's doing to the neighborhood. And I don't think anybody wants that. So the fact of the matter is the neighborhood supports it, and you guys should pass it.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Next three are Alexandra Silver, Linda Netkoven, and Jean Baker. They'll be followed by Charles Kingsley, Bill Dickus, and I believe it's Forrest Heater, possibly.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes, and just give us your name before you start. We'll start with you, Jean.
I'm going to try talking very fast because I wrote 3 minutes worth. My name is Jean Baker. I'm on the board of the Division Clinton Business Association. I was president of the association at the time that we were going through the negotiations for this plan, and I was a member of the Citizens Committee. So I have been intimately involved with all of this over the years. I'm here to support this because it's attempting to remove some unintended consequences from the planning department's original language regarding the 10,000 square foot limit. The intention, actually, the limit was a result of a compromise between the neighbors and the businesses to require new retailers that wanted to exceed that limit to seek an amendment. The intention was to allow flexibility to the businesses so they could change with whatever new technology is coming up and whatever next has to be the size of a supermarket to survive, and the neighbors being nervous about big box stores creeping into the business district. The original plan received the report from the Richmond neighborhood, from the Business Association, and from Hosford Abernathy neighborhood. And when Wild Oats left, we went through a long series of discussions about what to do about the space and how to do it. And once again, the Richmond neighborhood, the Hosford Abernathy neighborhood, and the Business Association all agreed that we could live with it. Well, as you know, it's been repealed considerably, so we are back to this point again. But in the meantime, like Becky Doggett said, there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I've got 8 that have been forced to either close or relocate. So we now realize that by doing this, we have put the existing buildings over 10,000 square feet in an untenable position where they have to cut their building interior into pieces or tear it down if they cannot get adjustments. So this amendment is a solution that balances the neighbor's desire for small local businesses with the reality of the challenges presented by the few large commercial buildings on the street. We support this, and we've worked with the building owner, and we urge you to pass this. Thank you very much.
Linda Netkoven, former co-chair of the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association, and wanting to restate again that HAND has supported, I think, every step of the way the efforts to move things forward on Division in regard to this street and to larger issues relating to zoning. I'm not here to speak in favor or against a second health facility on Division Street. I do want to support the change because I think even with the change, there are still protections in terms of enhancement and maintenance of the scale of our corridor in terms of the streetscape and the size, our mix of small and mid-sized businesses in cluster, arranged in cluster fashion. We still maintain some of the ability to dialogue with people in terms of potential businesses coming in and changes to buildings. And I would rather see the council respond to the letter that HAND sent actually to BDS about notification to neighborhood associations anytime there's a building change over a certain size, and that even if the zoning allows it, a dialogue still has to happen automatically. And I'd rather see us try to address some of these concerns going forward with an approach like that. I want to also stress that, again, this need for flexibility in keeping with our goal of sustainability for the street, and the fact that there's no room to maneuver in terms of an older building, you end up with the building being torn down or not being used as creatively and effectively as it might otherwise be. There are several of us here today who've been involved from the beginning in the efforts to create the Green Street Main Street plan. And our vision really dovetails nicely with the way you're talking about things in City Hall these days. We wanted to be environmentally, economically, and socially sustainable. We wanted to help our street evolve while trying to hold on to what we valued there. And we wanted to create a strong, vibrant, and diverse economy that made it possible for locally serving and locally owned businesses to compete successfully in the larger marketplace, not necessarily for anyone to have a monopoly. We were concerned about gentrification. We wanted to keep rents reasonable and housing costs affordable. And we wanted to add new businesses to the stalwarts that are already there so that we could become that ideal 20-minute neighborhood that we're all striving for. However, it's difficult to write code language that moves these goals forward and addresses some of the inherent trade-offs that our very own goals contain. And obviously, some people in our neighborhood like Starbucks, especially because they donated over $30,000 to our school. Other people in our neighborhood want no chains in the vicinity at all. Here we've got a size limit that gets in the way of our sustainability goal. We're trying to balance a number of concerns here. The zoning code isn't the only method to do that. We're trying to get the zoning code to not get in the way and to provide us some safety, some amount of structure that will guide our process. But adopting this change will let us do a lot of things we really want to do for Division Street, like encouraging green building and LEED certified renovations, preserving existing buildings, adding more certainty to our process while leaving us room to negotiate toward ever higher quality design. We want to preserve the possibility for anchor tenants to develop at some of our nodes to support those local businesses. So anyway, please support this, and thanks for your thoughts.
Hi, I'm Alessandra Silver. I'm one half of Four Paws, which is the new pet supply store right on Division, next to the Detour and across from the building in question. We've only been there about a month and a half, and already it's fairly obvious that our survival pretty much depends on something going in that building. There's not a ton of foot traffic, and it becomes especially obvious in the month of December when people should be out and shopping, and there's not a lot of reason for them to be out and shopping in that neighborhood. And it's already become a hot topic just in the short time that we've been there, people asking, when's the gym going in? When's the gym going in? And it's obvious that everyone in the neighborhood wants it there, just considering how new we are to the neighborhood. And it does, from our point of view, from a retail point of view, seem like a good fit for us, people that are active and outdoorsy and have pets. It seems like it would work for us, but to be honest, a lot of things would work for us just to get there to be a destination, get people walking. We need foot traffic. We're new. We can't afford to advertise a lot, so we need this to be a destination where people are walking around. It's nice to have restaurants and things, but it would be even nicer if there were people walking around. And that's pretty much it. We need people to be coming to the street and then coming in our store.
What's the name of your store again?
It's called Four Paws.
And what services do you
it's
provide?
It's a pet supply store, dogs and cats, things for dogs and cats. And, yeah, there we need people.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
The next three are Charles Kingsley, Bill Dickus, and Boris, I believe it's Heater.
How many more do we have left after that?
We have six more.
Six more.
Okay. They'll be followed by Brian Roeder, Julia Steig, and Neil Pender.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes, and if you could just give us your name before you start, and we'll start with you, sir.
My name is Forrest Hofer, and I oppose the change in this in the 10,000 square foot limitation, and for a number of reasons. The developer in this particular process started out by not wanting to divide his building up into the 10,000 square foot areas, and went and sought a non-threatening kind of business to try and put in his in the building, and then sold it to the community associations who are clearly desperate to get something in this building. And as are a number of people in the neighborhood. we would like to see, I would like to see something go into this building as well. Because I'm a supporter of Laprinzi's gym, I've been cast as someone who is has a bias against a gym going in this building, but I do not. What I am offended by is the idea that the big box gym of Gold's is being sold as a small and local serving business, when indeed it is the largest healthcare facility business in the world. And a local person is a guy who owns a franchise from Eugene. I mean, he's a perfectly nice guy, but he's not really a local guy. This is the kind of distortion that's been associated with this project from the beginning in terms of presenting whether or not this is really something that's being presented in the neighborhood. We get the same kind of distortion when we hear about from people who say that their businesses are in bad shape, and I feel for the Four Paws people, and I would like to support them, and I'm going to be buying my dog food from them because I want them to do well. And I empathize with the lack of use in the building, although I don't blame that on the idea that by opposing this that I have been representing something that a situation where I want something not to go in the building. I want something to go in the building, and I think that the developer has the responsibility to do that, and that he can divide the building up and use it for a variety of purposes that are entrepreneurial and for the benefit of the neighborhood. Just this week at the that wasn't mentioned at the Richmond Neighborhood Association was a group of four developers who live in Southeast Portland, who are going to take the Reliable Parts building, which is directly across the street, right next to these other businesses that are there, and he's going to put a second floor on it. He's going to put 12 retail places, or 12 living spaces, four retail, and one office space. This is right there next to it, and this is going to happen. So things are happening on this street. They're just not happening in this building. And the things that are happening are in compliance with the law as it exists. We think the law is...
Your time is up.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
My name is Bill Dickus. I'm the lawyer that did the LUBA appeal for Laprinzi's. And I haven't heard that explained today yet. The original code said there's a 10,000-foot sales and service limit in the zone because the stated purpose of that limit was to keep the uses small in scale. And the commentary explained that the planning code was designed to keep uses local serving and not a regional draw. It even explained that this doesn't keep out national chains and franchises, but we just want them to be small enough to be local serving. So they applied for an amendment for a code change that it would allow a use more than three times larger than the code allowed, more than six times larger than Laprinzi's. And Laprinzi's made the judgment it would go out of business in the face of that kind of a large competitor a few blocks away, and thus the appeal. And at the appeal, we argued, look, they're going to have at least by their own numbers, which are projections, 2,000 or 3,000 trips per week from outside the area, a regional draw. They have not even measured what a conforming facility would produce. And LUBA said, if that's what the limit means, Laprinzi's is right. And they sent it back to the city and to the planning department and said, if it means anything else, tell it what it is. And they didn't try to explain what else it meant. What they're trying to do is to get a special code exemption, not for the benefit of the planning district, because none of the 14 other building owners have asked for this change. They're asking for a code amendment for a single purpose to benefit a California franchise for a use that's five times bigger than my client's use, at least 2.5 times bigger than existing code allows. It's not for the benefit of the plan. It's for the benefit of a single competitor.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Charles Kingsley. I have been a Richmond neighbor for 8 years, live in the neighborhood, do small ecological redevelopment projects in the neighborhood, and have been a part of one of the founders of the Division Vision Coalition. And I just want to give you a sense of perspective on the kind of community process. I know you just heard that this is all about just trying to benefit one business owner. We've had long deliberations in the neighborhood, both Richmond, Hosford, Abernathy, the Business Association, and a community-wide meeting, and the Planning Commission. And all of those have unanimously, or near unanimously, the Richmond neighborhood was 8-3 of their board supported this process. The business owner originally came to us and asked what we would like in that building, if they were going to preserve the building as it was. And we went out and did an ad hoc survey, and the most requested business was a full-service health club. So it's, I think, a bit disingenuous to suggest that this is just driven by one property owner's selfish interests. They actually came to us and said, what would the neighborhood like? I feel like we've been trying to be a model for community organized, led initiative in this Division Street Plan after 6 years and the $7 million we've raised so far, although we hear that's not enough with construction budget overruns. We feel like we've come a long ways. I know Commissioner Leonard raised the question about how much a building could expand, and I just wanted to ask staff for clarification. Our understanding in some of the deliberations has been that any building that any of the 10 or 12 or 14 existing buildings that would expand more than 100% would no longer be considered an existing building. So they would not fall under the 10,000 square foot.
We'll have staff.
A clarification?
Yeah, we'll have okay. A clarification.
So anyway, we're all for this, and we're for it not just for the business, but the idea of promoting more flexibility on the street, trying to preserve these old buildings. And affordability is a big deal on the street. We know if the old buildings can be reused, there's a greater chance of affordability than if they get torn down and something new gets built. So strongly encourage, and the neighborhood, strong voices encourage the support of this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next three are Brian Roeder, Julia Steig, and Neil Pender.
Brian, are you going to come up?
I would speak in behalf of the commissioner, but I don't have anything to add that hasn't been said.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a, yeah.
Stan Amy? And they'll be followed by Ann Seward and Lawrence Van Wess.
Well, let's wait till you get your props up.
Should we let Julia go?
Okay. If you could just give us your name, you have 2 minutes.
My name is Julia Steig. I'm a 16-year-old senior at Cleveland High School. I go to school about 6 to 8 blocks from this nature's building. I've lived around this building for about 14 years, nearly all my life, and have regularly visited this entire street. So I know the area really well. I am usually a pedestrian. And I also am on my senior class cabinet. I'm a class delegate. So I don't really have much say, but I really know what the people around me are thinking about the neighborhood, because my peers are always wondering, oh, why is nature still empty? And they all want something to happen. So I'd like to say that we all really support the gym going in, because we want to work out.
Okay. Joey, I have to ask you, you're wearing a conspicuous t-shirt. Does that reflect the college of your choice or?
My sister, so.
Hey, thanks for coming out and testifying today.
Which one of you wants to go first?
I'll go first. Commissioner, thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is Neil Pender. I live at 3403 Southeast 16th. I have the pleasure of speaking today on behalf of this proposal, both as a neighbor and as an employee working on the project on behalf of the property owners. As a neighbor, I'm excited about the prospect of having a fitness center in the neighborhood comparable to other full-service gyms in Portland. I've been a member of 24-Hour Fitness for over 8 years, and in that time have been relegated to commute across town in order to take advantage of the full range of services these facilities offer. Having a new bike and pedestrian-friendly gym option in the neighborhood not only increases the odds out of convenience, I'll get in a few more much-needed workouts personally, but also offers an important chance for my family to decrease our carbon footprint. Now, and I'm not going to cover all the specifics of the issue because Stan is going to follow, but wearing my hat as an employee who's been working on this project and specifically been the lead on working with the neighborhoods to get to the solution that we're offering for you today, I want to focus on some of the comments that Charles outlined and underscore the extensive community outreach and collaboration that has led to this proposal, which we think solves a lot of the unintended impacts that you've heard heretofore. Since the beginning, we have worked diligently to engage the neighborhood, ask for early input for acceptable uses, and supported the plan, and gotten input each step of the way. This was all healthy collaboration all the way up until the point that the adjustment was appealed to LUBA. When that happened, we looked at our options, we re-engaged the neighborhood, developed a working group, members of the Richmond, Hosford, Abernathy Neighborhood Associations, the Business Association, and the Division Vision Coalition supported us in crafting the solution. We looked at a number of options. This was the compromise that best met maintaining the integrity to the original plan as well as solving the unintended consequences we've experienced. And so we've gained that support each step of the way. The Planning Commission unanimously recommended, actually acknowledged that this should be a model for the way the neighborhood and developers should work together. So just in closing, I would say that you have the opportunity to support this regulatory improvement to stop the known unintended negative consequences and to preserve the opportunity that the Division Main Street, Green Street plan can succeed and be used as a model elsewhere. Your support in supporting this regulatory improvement will send a powerful message that Portland supports neighborhood involvement, is responsive to the concerns of businesses and property owners, and that Portland is committed to appropriate development that makes our neighborhoods more livable. We ask for your support.
Neil, I just have a question. You've put two boards up that look like architect drawings.
Yes.
It's like Richard Brown's the architect on this. So you've penciled in Gold's Gym, and yet we had prior testimony there's no guarantee that Gold's Gym will go in here. So can you tell us if you are actively negotiating with any other entity for this space?
We are not actively engaging. Basically, until this land use cloud is removed, we're not able to move forward with a negotiation with any party. And as you heard from the operator of Gold's, that we intend to pick that up once we get past this hurdle.
So it's your intent to try to negotiate, if assuming this code amendment passes the council, your intent is to try to reach a final agreement with Gold's Gym?
That is certainly our intent. And one thing I would add, we've been extremely transparent throughout this process that this code amendment is not about putting in a gym. It is one hurdle that we have to clear that preserves the option that we could explore that use. But there are other issues, economic conditions, financing, our ability to finance the project, as well as the tenant's ability to secure financing once we're able to move forward. Unfortunately, we've been held up for almost 3 years to get to that point.
And under any of the scenarios you've been looking at, are you contemplating changing the footprint of the second floor?
I'm going to defer that answer to the answer is no, but I'm going to defer that question to Stan.
Thank you.
What's your name? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. President, Commissioners. My name is Stan Amy. I'm going to be brief and which is a personal challenge, so I'm making summary statements, hoping you'll follow up with questions where I've just glossed over something. Based on my 30 years of neighborhood retailing, 15 of it on Division Street, my 20 years doing neighborhood commercial development, and my 5 years on the Planning Commission in the city, I look at the Division Main Street, Green Street plan as representing an exceptional piece of work for a neighborhood engaging in proactively its the future of its commercial district. In particular, the provision that we're here trying to improve, I think, had great promise to create a pedestrian-friendly streetscape, to ensure that there are opportunities for small businesses, to preserve a diversity, the diverse and healthy business nodes that already existed by exempting the existing anchor tenants, and to provide the neighborhood associations with a meaningful voice through the adjustment process. Unfortunately, the use of the adjustment process, particularly on buildings that house the pre-existing anchor tenants, has had significant unintended consequences. It's created the opportunity for individuals to use the LUBA process for delaying tactics to effectively bleed the project and thwart the will of both the neighborhood associations and the decisions of the city staff and the appeal bodies. In this case, that delay has been 31 months at this point. The impact on the neighborhood has been the lack of retail synergy that has injured small businesses located at and near the node. The vacant building has created an ongoing graffiti and vandalism target and generally degraded the streetscape. The impact on the project is that it has cost us over $400,000 in carrying costs and related costs, which would have otherwise gone into equity for the project. It severely threatens our ability to get financing, and it certainly degrades the quality of the development that we can do. The code improvement before you addresses those unintended consequences and better accomplishes the plan's vision. In this case, it would allow us to develop the vision that you see drawn here, which puts between 7,000 and 8,000 square feet of Gold's Gym on the ground floor and several other retail uses on the ground floor, and then the balance of Gold's Gym on the second floor and an independent office use for people using home offices out of their home. That it has the benefit of maintaining a pedestrian-friendly streetscape, and at the same time permitting an anchor tenant to provide the function on that node. I think that when you think about what makes a place viable for small businesses, you need to be clear. There are two visions of that. One is a monoculture vision. All we're going to have is small businesses. And the other is a diverse ecosystem vision of retail. And I'll tell you from all my experience and from what you've heard from these people, if you really want healthy businesses nodes, you need both. Now, exceptions would be a street mall.
Okay, your time's up.
Although I'm going to ask Stan
okay.
a couple questions. So I appreciate your testimony. And I appreciate very much the intent of the neighborhood in trying to get a gym in the neighborhood. And I completely understand the reasons for doing that. The concern I've had is that because of my job here, I tend to look at things more globally than I think I'm paid to do that. And so when I see this amendment come forward, I recognize it not as an amendment affecting a building for a use, as you've correctly pointed out, there's no guarantee for. But as I recall, the Division Street plan starts at about Southeast 6th and goes out to 60th. And
11th, yeah.
So we're talking about a change that affects, if we agree to this, every commercial occupancy in those parameters that has the same kind of criterion you do currently. And so there's a handful. We saw a picture of one on 39th and Division. There's your building, and there's possibly others as well. So I'm looking at this, I hope you appreciate, in that context.
As you should.
In that context. And being very careful about not getting caught up in the excitement that that I've frankly picked up from the dozens of emails I got almost universally, which ironically causes me more concern because they all say, we have voted for a gym, you should support the gym. And I'm sitting here going, you think you've voted for a gym, but you don't know that that's what you're going to get. I mean, and then more importantly, my read of where we're at now, and tell me if I've got this wrong, is that a gym could go there with the current process. That what happened was you correctly applied for a variance. Using the current process, and the BDS staff agreed with that change and allowed the gym to be there. Then Leprinzi's appealed it to LUBA, and LUBA didn't say no. They sent it back and said, define what locally serving means. And so that is all background to get me to the question I want to ask you is, why don't you just work with staff to define locally serving and send it back to LUBA, and then I don't mm-hmm. we don't have to sit here and change the entire zoning for the stretch of division from 7th to 60th, and to I think give more credence even to your argument, you've taken what was originally a 33,000 square foot proposal and reduced it to a 20,000 square foot proposal, which in my view would be even more acceptable to LUBA, and